from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Ray Suarez, in today for Michael Krasny. With no Twitter and no hollering crowds, the Trump administration comes to town this week. Confirmation hearings begin on Capitol Hill tomorrow for Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, President-elect Donald Trump's pick for Attorney General. Sessions faces criticism for prosecuting civil rights activists and his opposition to immigration reforms, like a path to citizenship and visa programs for foreign workers. Supporters say Sessions brings strong experience to the role. The senator served as a U.S. attorney and Alabama's attorney general. We'll examine Sessions' background and his potential confirmation as head of the Department of Justice. That's all coming up next on Forum after this. Welcome to Forum on KQED. I'm Ray Suarez, sitting in this week for Michael Krasny. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama was a Republican before it seemed like the whole South was. A conservative forerunner of a solid South and Sun Belt that stretches from the Carolinas to Arizona. He was also one of the first Republican elected officials to climb aboard the Trump campaign, and the two men share the belief that high levels of immigration, legal and illegal, have not been helping American working people. Senator Sessions hung in during the darkest days of the Trump campaign, when it appeared the president-elect was talking himself out of a job. Now the Alabaman, denied a federal judgeship in the 1980s by a Republican-majority Judiciary Committee, will sit down before his Senate colleagues and answer their questions in pursuit of the top law enforcement job in the United States. We'll begin this look at Donald Trump's pick to be Attorney General this hour with NPR's Justice Correspondent Carrie Johnson. Thanks for joining us on Forum.
Happy to be here, Ray.
Well, what did people understand President-elect Trump to be saying by this pick? Was it a simple quid pro quo, or is Jeff Sessions really an expression of Donald Trump's judiciary philosophy?
Ray, to take it by the two men's comments alongside the campaign trail, they're aligned in more ways than one. You mentioned immigration. Both Senator Sessions and President-elect Trump want to limit the numbers of people who can come into this country. Both have talked adjusted their remarks about a proposed ban on Muslims from entering the country. They're also aligned on crime and punishment. They're drug warriors, old school drug warriors of the sort we haven't seen here in the U.S. in a long time, want to be friends of police instead of overseers of police, as in their view, Barack Obama's Justice Department has done for the last 8 years. They are very much in tune with each other on a host of substantive issues that Jeff Sessions would be in charge of if, in fact, he's confirmed as the Attorney General of the United States.
If he is confirmed and takes the office of current Attorney General Loretta Lynch, is it a simple matter to just start reversing policies, changing practices, taking a very different point of view in running the day-to-day affairs of the Justice Department? What would change?
A lot could change, Ray, and it's important to note that elections have consequences here. Historically, the work of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, its environmental unit, and to some extent, its antitrust policy has changed alongside the party of the president in power. The question here is whether the Obama Justice Department legacy on civil rights, protections for LGBTQ people, protections for African Americans who are unarmed, shot by police in some circumstances, and patterns of discrimination this Justice Department has identified in police forces, whether Jeff Sessions will prioritize those same issues should he become the Attorney General. Based on his public record, a lot of civil rights groups think there will be marked shifts in that arena as well, Ray, as the notion of mass incarceration, as people on the left call it, this whole idea, bipartisan idea in some ways, that drug crime should not be punished as harshly as some other crimes, and that old sentences for under old drug laws should be relaxed, and some of those people have been getting clemency under President Obama. Jeff Sessions is very tough on those people. He's an avowed opponent of marijuana legalization and has kind of a mixed record on crime and punishment, but mostly adopts a very hard line. That would be a big shift from this DOJ.
Well, for most people who aren't paying extremely close attention to this day to day, does an administration have to accomplish actual changes in the written law in order to accomplish some of these goals that you've been talking about? Or is there so much in the discretion of the Attorney General that a different approach basically is the same as changing the law?
Well, Ray, with respect to LGBTQ rights, the Supreme Court has opined on same-sex marriage, and Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, has said that's settled law. So I don't expect DOJ to try to go back on that, but there are some areas where policy guidance has been issued by the Obama administration. Interpretations of the law have been issued, especially, say, with respect to whether the current laws on the books cover protections for transgender people in bathrooms. Those are things that Jeff Sessions' Justice Department could reverse rather quickly, leading to changes in the DOJ's and the government's litigation posture. Now, with respect to civil rights investigations of police departments, those laws allowing DOJ to go into local police departments and do investigations, those laws dating back to the 80s would remain on the books. It's just a matter of emphasis and staffing. The Attorney General can make calls about emphasis and staffing, and he may decide, Jeff Sessions, to focus more on human trafficking, protecting people's religious freedom, and less on the kinds of conflicts and friction we've seen between African-American communities and police.
That's NPR Justice Correspondent Carrie Johnson. She'll be with us for the rest of the hour. Joining me now are Robert Driscoll, a former Deputy Assistant Attorney General who worked in the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division under Attorney General John Ashcroft and wrote a recent National Review article supporting the Sessions nomination. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ray, for having me.
And Kristen Clark, President and Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, which has come out against the Alabama senator becoming Attorney General of the United States. Welcome to you both. Robert Driscoll, let me start with you. Give us the crux of your argument presented to the readers of National Review that this man should take the oath and become the next Attorney General.
Sure. I mean, my point is mainly that Senator Sessions, I think, would be a fine Attorney General and that he believes in the rule of law. I think sometimes people conflate his role as a legislator with the role he would play as Attorney General. I think he's been fairly consistent in saying that the executive branch and the Attorney General in particular should enforce the laws as passed by Congress. So I think he would do that without political fear or favor, and I think that he would enforce the laws as they were written. Now, that may be controversial in some quarters because I think particularly in the Obama years, there's been a temptation by the DOJ to extend the law beyond what's written in certain areas. And so I think he may trim back things like that. But I don't think you can read from his legislative preferences that he would carry those over to his role as Attorney General. I think he would enforce the laws as they are currently written. So I think that in some quarters, the concern over his appointment has been a little overheated, in my view.
Well, we just heard from NPR's Justice Correspondent Carrie Johnson explaining how a lot of the approach of an Attorney General can be chalked up to discretion. Yes, you've talked about how he would enforce the law as written, but there is a great big yawning area of emphasis and setting priorities. And enforcing the law as written is certainly part of it, but also what you're going to tackle first. Isn't that the case?
Oh, it is for sure. But I think that that sometimes a lot of the law, the vast majority of laws, are non-controversial and are enforced in a bipartisan manner and don't change. And some matters, I think, are simply sometimes lend themselves to political fights. For example, one of the things Carrie mentioned were the shooting of unarmed African-American men. That's something that certainly the Obama administration has shown a lot of concern over, but there weren't any successful prosecutions by the Obama administration of any police officers in that circumstance. There weren't any criminal cases brought for any of the high-profile shootings that caused so much attention, and in fact, in most of them, the officers were cleared. And so in that circumstance, I think the political reaction to someone like Attorney General Sessions coming to the same conclusion might be different, but the legal conclusion, regardless of the politics of the Attorney General, would end up being the same. So I think that that's my point, is that, you know, the law is the law and the facts are the facts. And I think there are some issues at the margin. I think the transgender issue that Carrie Johnson mentioned is one, and there are matters of emphasis. I think that there would probably be more immigration enforcement, you know, maybe probably a little more of a law and order attorney general. But I think that for the vast swaths of enforcement powers the attorney general has, I think Senator Sessions would exercise them the way most attorney generals would, and would, you know, emphasize the priorities of the president, which he's entitled to do. But I do not fear a dramatic shift that some are predicting.
I'm glad you brought up the shooting of unarmed African-Americans by police. And I think it's a good illustration of the tension between local enforcement and local judicial action versus federal. Yes, the officers have been cleared, but in some cases, very, very controversially at home. And in sometimes, apparently, there is, because of prosecutorial discretion at home, in home counties and municipalities, a tendency to overcharge or undercharge, an unwillingness of juries to convict these men, even when they've lied in advance of the release of video that shows a far different story from the one they tell when first debriefed on what happened at the crime scene.
I'm not sure what the question is. I mean, I think that they're, I mean, again, if officers lie, that's a prosecutable offense. And I don't see that, you know, Senator Sessions as attorney general would have any problem prosecuting an officer that violated the law. I think in the police misconduct area, what is so difficult is frankly, I don't think the left and the right disagree at all, really, on the legal standards, but they end up being disagreements over facts, and those are always hard to resolve, particularly in a broad manner, because each case is different. I don't think there's any disagreement that, you know, deadly force should be limited to those situations where an officer is in fear for his or her life or the life of someone else or imminent bodily harm. It's been the legal standard for decades, and I think that most people are comfortable with that. And then the rubber hits the road when you look at an individual case and you see a videotape and you have to make a determination as to whether or not deadly force was justified in that circumstance. And I think what's so tough politically is that things like that hit the internet or hit TV, and we were all armchair quarterbacks in a sense and want to draw our own conclusions. But the Department of Justice has to go in and be very detailed and meticulous in their investigation before making a charging decision. And my point is mainly that you look, for example, at Ferguson and the Michael Brown shooting. The whole Justice Department, which I think no one would argue is in the tank for the police, you know, went further than saying there wasn't enough evidence to charge. They actually cleared Officer Wilson in that case and essentially said it was a good shoot. And I don't think anyone would accuse Attorney General Holder or his Civil Rights Division of being kind of soft on these issues of police prosecutions. And so my point is that, you know, a lot of times it's the law, the facts that are the question, not the law itself. And so I think factually I'm trying to figure out if people have concern which cases they think would come out differently under a Sessions attorney generalship, because I frankly don't see it. I think that the similar result would have been reached in Ferguson. A similar result would have been reached in a lot of the federal cases where no charging decision was made. And if there's a case, for example, the South Carolina case, where it looks fairly clear that there was excessive force by used against a fleeing officer, if that were not prosecuted at state level, I have no doubt that you know, a Republican or conservative would prosecute it federally. If the evidence is there, I think it's just each one ends up being a factual determination that needs to be made, and it's very hard to kind of make political judgments based on that.
Kristen Clark is with us, president and executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Your organization has officially come out against the confirmation of Jeff Sessions. Tell us why.
The Attorney General is indeed one of the most important cabinet positions. This is arguably the second most important position next to the President. And at the end of the day, this needs to be somebody who can act with the requisite level of independence and somebody who is going to bring a deep commitment to enforcement of the law. And that's all laws, including our nation's federal civil rights laws. And that is ensuring enforcement of the law evenly on behalf of all Americans, regardless of their race, their religion, their LGBT status, or gender. Unfortunately, when we look at Mr. Sessions' record, there are a number of issues that raise cause for concern. And indeed, many of those very concerns are what led to his nomination to become a judge, being rejected by Republicans and Democrats that reviewed his nomination in 1986. He is somebody who called an African-American colleague a boy. He's someone who's made statements indicating that he approves of the KKK except when they use marijuana. He's described civil rights organizations like ours, including the NAACP and the ACLU, as communist-inspired. And one of his most notorious prosecutions as a state prosecutor in Alabama was against a group of African-American civil rights activists, a group known as the Marion Three. These were folks in the Black Belt of Alabama who rolled up their sleeves and focused on registering black folks to vote. And they did hard work to encourage black folks to participate and turn out in elections. One of the leaders of that group, Albert Turner, was a longtime advisor for Martin Luther King, who walked and marched from Selma to Montgomery during the Bloody Sunday March in 1965. Their efforts invited the ire of Jeff Sessions, who levied a voter fraud prosecution on them. They rounded up dozens of elderly black folks in the Black Belt, put them on a Greyhound bus, forced them to appear before a grand jury and give testimony. And at the end of this long ordeal, a jury acquitted the three civil rights activists of all of the charges. But the chilling effect, the intended effect of chilling the participation rates of black voters was achieved. All of those facts led the Senate Judiciary Committee to reject Jeff Sessions' nomination to become a federal judge. And here we are today, where he seeks an even greater role, serving as our nation's chief law enforcement officer. Mr. Driscoll refers to him as the Attorney General, but the nominations hearing have yet to begin, and I think there are going to be some hard questions that Mr. Sessions has to answer that concern not just that history that led to the rejection of his nomination the first go-around, but also questions about his more recent record, which demonstrates a long and clear, consistent record of hostility and opposition to civil rights.
Kristen Clark, that hearing where a Republican majority judiciary committee rejected Jeff Sessions for a federal judgeship is now more than 30 years ago. Is there anything that a man can do? And for the record, Jeff Sessions denied many of the allegations made during that hearing about things he said and untoward things he said. And the KKK line about marijuana use was dismissed as a joke. And I mean, it sounds like a joke. I mean, I don't think even in the 1980s, an elected official would say, I approve of the Klan out loud. It read like a joke when I first read it, but I guess people can disagree on that. But is there anything in the meantime, now going on 31 years, that a man can do to prove his bona fides, his literal good faith, to proceed and get this job?
You sure can, but in Mr. Sessions' case, what we've seen is only confirmation of somebody who is unfortunately hostile to civil rights. He's voted against the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Hate Crimes Prevention Act, and every day we see evidence of hate that's gripping the nation that requires strong leadership at the helm of the Justice Department that will be committed to stamping those acts out. He's voted against the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act. He's opposed reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. What's remarkable about his track record of opposition is that it's against very laws that he would be tasked with enforcing if he is indeed named the Attorney General for the United States. He's voted against Justice Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, despite their qualifications for the roles that they now occupy. I point out those examples because the record of hostility when it comes to judicial diversity matters and is recent. Abdul Kalan, a sitting judge who was nominated for the 11th Circuit, is somebody who he did not back. Had he indeed been named to the 11th Circuit, that would have been the first African-American ever from his home state of Alabama named to the 11th Circuit. And he came out and did not support Mr. Kalan.
So let me get a quick response from Robert Driscoll. What do you think about what you just heard?
I mean, I think a lot of this, unfortunately, is a smear of Senator Sessions, who certainly has a different view of the law, I think, than LDF would have, and a different view of priorities than LDF would have. But I think, just kind of suggesting that essentially, in so many words, that the man is a racist is really unfair, and I think belied by the record. I mean, just to give you a few quotes, I think everyone on this call is aware that Tom Perez, who's running for chair of the DNC and ran Civil Rights Division for a while, I mean, he testified before Congress that when he was with the Civil Rights Division, his first travel was to Mobile, Alabama, and he talked about the great dignity that Jeff Sessions treated him with, that it was the first trial he had ever done, and that Sessions was wonderfully welcoming to him and a wonderfully welcoming U.S. attorney, and he was grateful for Sessions' help. He has said that he respected Senator Sessions in testimony before the committee. So I think that, more recently, it would be very strange if members of the Senate who have worked shoulder to shoulder with Senator Sessions for the last 25 years all of a sudden decide that he's got a race issue that cannot be overcome today.
Robert Driscoll, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because I have to cue to a break. I'm going to say goodbye to Kristen Clark from the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Thanks for joining us. We'll continue our conversation about Attorney General nominee Jeff Sessions after a short break. What questions do you have for our guests? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. I'm Ray Suarez, in this morning for Michael Krasny, and you're listening to KQED Public Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Ray Suarez, in today for Michael Krasny. We're talking about President-elect Donald Trump's nominee for Attorney General, Jeff Sessions of Alabama. We're now joined by Jesselyn McCurdy, Deputy Director of the ACLU's Washington Legislative Office. Please give us a call at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. Jesselyn McCurdy, the ACLU, has put a lot of material online about its opposition. What would you say is the main argument against the confirmation of Jeff Sessions for your organization?
Well, first, let me say thank you for having me on the radio show today. First of all, I want to be clear that we, the ACLU, do not take a position, an official position on any nominations. In rare cases, we have taken positions on Supreme Court nominations. So we have not taken an official position opposing Senator Sessions, but we do have grave concerns about his record once we took the time to look through his record and pull it all together. Some of our primary concerns are some of the concerns that you've heard other organizations talk about in terms of his record around voting rights, his record around criminal justice, his record around his other concerns around policing. But we also, for example, are concerned by the fact that he will be, again, the top law enforcement official in this country and will be tasked with enforcing, for example, the Violence Against Women's Act, and as well as the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entries Act, the FACE Act. And we know his record on, for example, abortion, and we also have heard him make statements like when the controversy came out around President-elect Trump's comments to Billy Bush, and when someone asked him whether or not he thought that was sexual assault, Senator Sessions, he did not think that those comments rose to the level of sexual assault. So those are some of the other issues that are concerning to us. Also, he has been the leading opposition in the Senate, for example, back in 2013, around immigration reform, and has said that he thinks that many people clearly abuse the fact that in this country, if you're born in this country, even if your parents weren't, that you are a citizen. And we're concerned that we see that as a clear issue around the 14th Amendment in this country, and we're concerned that he sees that as people abusing the 14th Amendment, and we think that's a clear right under the 14th Amendment.
Robert Driscoll and Carrie Johnson are still with me, along with Jesselyn McCurdy of the ACLU, who you just heard. Carrie Johnson, is it difficult? Is it more complicated to confirm an elective office holder, a politician with a long record coming out of a very polarized United States Senate, than someone who's been a state attorney general, been a prosecutor? Is there a paper trail of votes, of debates, that makes it more complicated?
Ray, funny you should ask this question. Jeff Sessions was a U.S. attorney in Alabama, a federal law enforcement prosecutor. He also was, for a short time, the attorney general for the state of Alabama. But we have a recent historical example of a sitting U.S. senator being nominated to serve as attorney general. John Ashcroft, the Republican senator from Missouri, was President George W. Bush's first attorney general. He had an unexpectedly bruising confirmation hearing, Ray, in part because of that record you just described, his record of votes and statements. John Ashcroft did get through. He did win, got through the Senate Judiciary Committee and ultimately the full Senate. But he had a surprisingly large number of no votes against him, a protest more or less against his stated positions on national security and a host of other issues.
Our number again, 866-733-6786. Karen is with us now from Oakland. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I want to say that I was very happy when Sessions was not confirmed to be a judge, but that was 30 years ago, and I have to believe that people can change. So I am unexpectedly on the fence about this. And what I wanted to ask about is the gentleman who's the conservative supporting Sessions, what he has to say about the vote against Kagan and Sotomayor, and what he has to say about Sessions' even now held apparent belief that there's widespread voter fraud that leads him to support voter ID and other things that apparently are getting struck down right and left by courts that review them.
Robert Driscoll, what do you have to say to Karen?
Sure. I mean, I think that the Supreme Court confirmation votes are, unfortunately, one way or another, have become highly politicized either way right now. I mean, you had lots and lots of, you know, Democrats voting against Alito, and you had lots of Republicans, or at least some Republicans, voting against President Obama's nominees. And so I think those issues, I don't think are disqualifying. I think one can view it as sometimes disappointing that the process has become politicized. With respect to voting rights, I think that Senator Sessions has been a supporter of voter ID, and I think that I would question the premise that those laws have been struck down left and right. In general, they've been upheld, and they've been upheld by the Supreme Court, particularly in the Indiana case, which is the one time the Supreme Court has directly addressed voter ID, that voter ID has not been deemed unconstitutional. I suspect he would apply the law, and the law that's left after Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act was struck down is Section 2. And so in any case, he would have to look and see whether or not a particular voter ID law was so restrictive as to infringe on people's rights to vote. And that usually depends on a state-by-state analysis. I think that's what he would do. I think that's a different question than whether, as a legislator, he's in favor generally of voter integrity measures like voter ID. So if one were that one's top priority, I think that Attorney General Sessions, should he become that, would enforce the Voting Rights Act, but it would not be he would not be a clear opponent of voter ID laws the way the current DOJ is. That's for sure.
Karen in Oakland, thanks a lot for your call. Coming in over our other sources of comment, Dana writes, it's odd to see some black Americans objecting to Senator Sessions' appointment as Attorney General, since they would be the beneficiaries of tough immigration enforcement. Many decent-paying blue-collar jobs that once were available to blacks are now taken by illegal aliens who work cheap. Remember supply and demand? Another listener writes, interesting to hear that Jeff Sessions' biggest sins were committed well over 30 years ago. Is there no statute of limitations for acts committed by Republicans? I remember the Democrats forgave Senator Robert Byrd for being a leader in the Ku Klux Klan. Jake writes, Sessions has been an intelligent voice on immigration, but will his role as Attorney General really matter much in the area of immigration? His legal experience will be helpful, but I don't see how his immigration knowledge will really play a big role. Jesselyn McCurdy, talk directly to Jake about what difference it makes who's Attorney General when we're debating immigration.
Well, what we have to remember is that, immigration judges, while much of the immigration enforcement responsibilities are in the Department of Homeland Security, for example, immigration judges and the prosecutors that prosecute criminal immigration violation cases are under the Department of Justice. So, for example, if you are prosecuted for illegal entry or illegal reentry, those are prosecutors under the Department of Justice. And as a part of the process for those prosecutions, they're immigration judges who are a part of the Department of Justice who make those decisions. And these are, again, he will then be the person that is running that particular department. So he does have significant influence over the immigration policy in this country as he would be as the Attorney General.
Robert Driscoll, isn't it the case that there is some discretion when it comes to how you regard the act of entry itself? If you want to charge it as a serious crime, that shuts the door for any future regularization of someone's status, where if you charge it as a civil infraction, it might call for a different approach.
Well, I think the question is whether or not the law is enforced at all, or whether it is people are given a special status by the executive branch. Among the various complaints people might have about Senator Sessions and his potential to be Attorney General, I find it curious that one of the complaints would be that he will enforce the immigration laws as they're written. I understand there's obviously, I think, a deep and robust debate that the country should be having about how we should handle the immigration issue, because it's obviously an issue that needs to be resolved one way or the other legislatively. But I think that, you know, the reality is that we do have laws on the books now, and I think that Senator Sessions will likely enforce them. And I do agree he has discretion that he can tell the U.S. Attorney's offices, I want you to take illegal reentry cases seriously. I want people that are, you know, prosecuted for illegal reentry to be referred to ICE for deportation and things like that. But those are all things that are called for under existing law. I think he may not, you know, show leniency in that regard, but I think that, you know, those who want a more you know, comprehensive, I guess you would say, reform of immigration laws, I think that's going to have to happen legislatively, because I think that Senator Sessions will enforce the laws as they're written right now.
We'll go back to the phones now. Dave is with us from San Francisco. Welcome to Forum.
Thank you. It's also good to speak to you, Ray. You're a great newsman, so it's rare that one gets this opportunity.
Thanks.
But, yeah, in regard to the, you know, virtually all of Trump's picks and even Trump himself, I think he came in with a lot of concern coming from the populace that he himself is a bigot, and that people who voted for him were voting for a bigot, and that most of his picks seem to have large elements of bigotry or xenophobia. And I'm wondering, the question would be, why not demand all these folks vociferously come out against bigotry, against xenophobia, against being misogynist? And that certainly includes Sessions. I mean, I think that, granted that the Democrats eventually normalized Byrd, but I think this particular president-elect is so offensive to so many people. I think some kind of denial of these racist and bigoted tendencies would be warranted. That's my question.
Well, Dave, let me ask you a question, because bigotry is a kind of easy thing to charge and a hard thing to defend against. Repeatedly, Senator Sessions has said that he hasn't made some of the statements that have been attached to him, that he's made political judgments supporting his constituents in Alabama and supporting his view, which is often the Republican policy, part of the Republican governing manifesto. That is there anything he could say, because you've called for a refutation of bigotry, that would have you say, Dave, at the end of that, okay, now I can live with this guy as Attorney General of the United States?
Yeah, I think these guys owe it to the American public to go overboard in the opposite direction. Absolutely. They have to say that they have to say things that make this diverse population comfortable with them. That's not happening. They're taking very tough, you know, right wing, arguably right wing Republican positions that are there. They come off like tough guys, and tough guys make a lot of people scared and upset. And we have a very diverse population, and they're rightfully paranoid about what Trump is putting up in front of us. And they owe it to the American public to calm them down. They do owe it to the American public. I'd stand by that.
Jesselyn McCurdy, let me put a similar version of the question to you. Dave looks across the slate of choices from the incoming president, says these guys have to, and gals, have to speak very clearly about where they stand in order to lower opposition as they begin their jobs. Is there anything Jeff Sessions could say that would have you, as an individual, the ACLU as an organization, say, okay, that's fine, let's wait and see?
Well, I think there's enough, even in his recent record, even if you don't want to take into consideration some of the things that happened back now 30 years ago around his, or some of the things that came out around his judicial nomination 30 years ago. There's enough in his recent record to still be concerned about. For example, I think someone earlier mentioned his vote against the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Act. And one of the things he argued as that law, particular law, was being debated is that he didn't necessarily believe that women or LGBTQ individuals face serious discrimination, you know, stating that he's not sure what women or people face this type of discrimination. He just didn't see it. And so, you know, that's just another example. And this is more recently. This was definitely within the past 10 years or so, where he is not in tune to what is going on with people, women, people of color, LGBTQ individuals in this country and discrimination they're facing. And he's going to be one of the top civil rights officers in this country. And so if he doesn't even believe that this discrimination is taking place, how do we expect him to actually enforce the laws to ensure that it's not taking place?
If indeed Senator Jeff Sessions is confirmed, one of the looming areas of conflict will be laws governing marijuana. Julie is with us now from Petaluma. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for this conversation and thanks for taking my call. You know, we have a large majority of states now that have at least some passage of medical marijuana, and several states on the West Coast particularly that have passed recreational marijuana laws. And under the current Attorney General, there's protections against enforcement for states with robust medical systems for cannabis. I'm wondering if any of you can speak to Mr. Sessions' comments on the, you know, about cannabis in the past and how it is not any medical purpose, considering the federal laws against cannabis and the state's ability to now regulate them. I'm just curious if you can predict anything, given his record against cannabis.
Robert Driscoll?
Sure. I haven't studied his marijuana positions in detail, but I know in general Senator Sessions has been in favor of enforcement of the federal drug laws and has not been in favor of marijuana legalization. I would correct one thing, which is that there has not really been any protection of the states that have legalized marijuana under this current DOJ, or at least this DOJ has also prosecuted. In fact, I represented somebody who was prosecuted by this DOJ for growing marijuana in a state that had legalized medical marijuana. So it's always been a source of federal-state tension. I agree it's something that calls for some level of resolution because right now you have the same product, which is a Schedule I substance under the DEA Act, and also legalized in the state that it's in, and that creates a legal tension for, you know, both users and sellers of the product, as well as for the banks and other institutions that finance those businesses. It's a issue that calls for resolution, but I think historically Senator Sessions has been not in favor of legalization of marijuana.
Carrie Johnson, does this almost guarantee a collision course between various states, as Julie suggests, and the federal government?
Well, the Obama administration has adopted a largely hands-off approach to medical marijuana and small amounts of recreational marijuana in places and states that's legalized. The exceptions come when they find, federal prosecutors and DOJ officials find that the drugs are being transported across state lines into places where the drug is not legal, where it's being sold or marketed to children and the source of money laundering, things like that. I've talked with former Obama DOJ officials who feel very strongly that that policy is very much endangered by a possible Jeff Sessions Justice Department. But Ray, it's worth noting the Drug Policy Alliance, which supports legalization, is out today saying 18 senators of the 20 or so on the Senate Judiciary Committee that will consider Jeff Sessions' nomination this week, 18 of those senators live in places and represent places where the drug is legal in some form.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that many. I guess the cross-hatching across the map of the United States is really starting to fill in, whether it's strictly medical use or also recreational use as well. Let's go now to Sunnyvale, California. Ben, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. I love hearing this program every morning. My question is actually about banking reform. Senator Sessions has long been a fierce advocate of small banks and is one of the more strident opponents of the Wall Street banks on the Republican side. My question is, do you foresee a shift towards heavier enforcement of banking officials, maybe even prosecutions under his DOJ?
Well, I don't know if Robert Driscoll is comfortable with being the Jeff Sessions whisperer, but what do you see coming down the road?
Again, I think that a lot of these questions, understandably in some ways, are policy type of questions. And I think as a conservative, I always take the view that, you know, the Attorney General is enforcing the laws that are on the books. I think he would prosecute bank executives who deserve it after investigating them. I think that, frankly, what will be more relevant for the big bank, small bank question will be some of the Treasury appointments and some of the CFPB appointments and things like that. I think that the criminal banking statutes that DOJ would generally enforce, or some of the anti-discrimination statutes they might enforce the Civil Rights Division, I think Senator Sessions would enforce them as they are written. But I think in terms of the banking policy issues, I don't think the Attorney General would have that much of an effect on the big bank versus small bank dispute.
Jesselyn McCurdy, is there much in the record that the ACLU has looked at in this regard?
No, not on the banking issue. We've really focused a lot of all of our attention on civil rights and civil liberties issues, since that's, you know, in our wheelhouse. So I don't really have any predictions on the banking issues.
Ben, thanks for your call. Lynn tweets, "This man is dangerous and a threat to civil rights. Anyone who can't see that is unclear about race in America. Please don't minimize the ACLU's concerns about Sessions. He is dangerous. Citizens need to be alarmed." Rick writes, "Is there any chance Sessions will not be approved? Is there anything that can be done in practice to prevent this? Or is this simple grandstanding to express how poor the choice of Trump will prove to be?" Well, there's a lot of judgment in the question, but let me take the core of the question and put it to the panel for a final go-round. Is this going to be a tough hearing for the Alabama senator? Is there a chance, given a Republican committee, a friendly committee in many ways, that he won't be confirmed? Carrie Johnson?
Ray, there's always a chance. But remember, Jeff Sessions has been the colleague of these individuals, some of them, for 20 years or longer. He famously worked out a deal with Democrats on sentencing changes about 6 years ago in the Senate gym and locker room with Dick Durbin, a Democrat from Illinois. And already people like Senator Susan Collins, a Republican moderate, and Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, have thrown their support behind Jeff Sessions. So it's going to be very, very difficult to block his nomination unless something goes very, very south for him tomorrow.
Jesselyn McCurdy?
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, what Senate Democratic staff remind us is that, you know, 30 years ago when during his nomination hearing, and you know, people thought that it was a, you know, slam dunk then, until some of these issues around race came up. So you never know what could happen. But I think the very important point is that Carrie makes is that he's going before a panel that he has served on for many years now. And I think it will be difficult for some people, particularly members in his party, to vote against him, even with the record, even with the record that he has, and we've outlined and many other groups have outlined. So I think short of a bombshell, that the nomination is, at least particularly out of committee, is on track. Now, again, there's obviously the larger full floor vote that people have an opportunity to weigh in and talk to the 100 senators about. But right now, it looks like he's on track for confirmation, unfortunately.
Robert Driscoll, there are still things that Senator Sessions has not supplied to the committee in the form of disclosure, part of the vetting process. Should, as a matter of form, the committee withhold its vote at least until those things are supplied?
I don't know enough about the process to know how important any thing that I think it's the Office of Government Ethics is looking for. So whether it should go forward, I do think there should be an attorney general in as soon as possible, because I think that as the chief law enforcement officer in the country, it's important to get that cabinet position filled as quickly as possible to have someone essentially running the ship. I would like to just mention, though, that a few of the callers and emailers, I think they do a cause. They want to help a disservice by broadly using the term racist and bigot and things like that. I think that it encourages people kind of on a lot of my colleagues who are more conservative or Republican. It does get tiresome to be accused. I'm not a fan of racism and I'm not a fan of bigotry. And it is difficult to hear anyone who takes a conservative position kind of characterized that way all the time. And it doesn't really lend itself to constructive dialogue. The reality is there will be a Republican Attorney General, whether it's Jeff Sessions or someone else. I suspect it will be Senator Sessions. We're all going to have to work together at some point through this. And I think that calling everyone with whom one disagrees a racist or a bigot is not a productive way to go.
Robert Driscoll is the managing partner at the Washington, D.C. office, McGlinchey Stafford. Great to have you with us, Robert Driscoll.
Great to be here. Thanks, Ray.
Carrie Johnson is the justice correspondent for NPR News and joined us from the Capitol. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Ray.
And Jesselyn McCurdy was with us, staff member for the ACLU Washington Legislative Office, the deputy director there. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Larberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai with help from Jeremy Siegel. And we get online support from Amanda Font. Our interns are Brandon Yu and Maxine Schofer-Wolf. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our executive producer is Holly Kernan. I'm Ray Suarez, in for Michael Krasny. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for listening. And stay with us on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegas Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.